All right, folks, welcome back, and I'm real happy to have on the program two gentlemen here, and it has to do with the Boys and Girls Club of Flagstaff, but it's really much more than that because this is an organization that has an impact throughout northern Arizona. Steve Haas is the co-chair of the board of directors, and Mark Cox is the executive director here in Flagstaff. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Good, great. Good, Jeff. Thanks for having us on.
Good. And let me start with you, Steve. Boys and Girls Club, is it, I guess, is it open? Has it been open so folks can go in there and use the facilities? What's going on there?
Yes, we have. And it's been a challenge, but I think a very positive thing for the community. Mark's probably, he's the guy that runs this day to day. And I think, Mark, if you want to tell the folks a little bit about what we've been doing in terms of providing services to the kids while the schools have been closed.
Yeah, Mark, Mark, take it away. And maybe we should step back even before that. What's the history? And I don't know which one of you can explain this, probably both of you, but jump in here. Boys and Girls Club, kind of what's the history as an organization, but then in Northern Arizona as well?
Yeah, so, each club is an independent corporation, organization. And in 2012, we saw a need for our services in Flagstaff and formed a community group of community volunteers. And as luck would have it for us, the city was in the process of considering closing their Cogdale Recreation Center that's in the Brandon Homes neighborhood. And so we worked with the city. They provided the use of the facility. We raised money for some renovation and also operating budget. And we opened the club in 2012. And we had about 50 members when we started, Jeff.
Yeah.
And today we operate in six locations and serve about 1,300 youth in northern Arizona.
Cool. Good stuff. And Mark Cox is the executive director. So you're kind of hands on every day there, Mark. Let's go back to my original question. Are you open at your different, you said six locations. What's going on there?
Yeah. So when the pandemic hit in last March, obviously we had to close our doors for a few days just to figure out what are we going to do? How are we going to serve our community? How are we going to help our families? So we decided to open up one location, and folks saw the progress that we had and impact that we had there. And then obviously there was a need to open up another location as our safe distance learning sites. So yeah, we have, as of right now, we have three in-person programs and then three virtual programs. And the three virtuals are through our Native American dorm sites. So Kithlani Dorm, Winslow Dorm, and Holbrook Dorm. And then the three in-person sites are at Cogdale Recreation, Christ Church of Flagstaff, and as well as Williams Elementary.
Okay. And what, I mean, what are you guys offering? What are you seeing every day? I mean, what do people come in for?
Yeah. So we had to adjust to the virtual learning. Just like everybody
that's
else.
Like the whole world.
Exactly.
So many of us,
And so we had to help, I guess, get educated as well on navigating and troubleshooting and just guiding our kids. So we accept kids from the age as young as 5, mostly 6, all the way up to 18. And it's really difficult for those younger age kids, the kinders, the first, the second grade, to navigate through. And we have obviously adapted to helping those kids with virtual learning. And then once they're done with school, we implement some of our more robust programming for the rest of the day.
Okay.
And typically those ones are really fun.
And what is it like? What, I mean, give me an example here, because there's a lot of parents listening and grandparents, and a lot of them have lost the ability, especially in the Flagstaff area, to bring their kids into a school environment, an actual environment. Now, that's not true all over the place, because Williams is open and Verde Valley and other places are back in-person education.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what do you do, I guess? Give some examples here.
Yeah. So, obviously we saw that with most kids, they're on a screen
too much
majority of the day.
too much. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we wanted to do is get them away from the screen, get outside as much as we can, obviously depending on the weather. We obviously promote the Healthy Lifestyles program. So kids in the kitchen, so kids will go into the kitchen, learn how to cook healthy meals with, you know, limited supplies, work out in the gym, play fun games, keep them active, and not have them in front of a screen. So whenever they are off that screen, they are engaged, they're having fun, they are moving around and, you know, socializing too with their friends, because a lot of the folks that are at home doing school, they don't have that social interaction that they definitely get at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, and Steve Hawes is with us as well, co-chair of the Board of Directors for Boys and Girls Club of Flagstaff in really northern Arizona. There's been a huge problem, as you know, with kids having so much screen time, but then also even in Las Vegas, they recently acknowledged, you know, the amount of depression and sadly suicides, things like that, because the world changed like, can you believe we're like a year into this almost, and the world changed like that. And the kids are, you mean, they're dealing with more than you and I could have ever imagined as a kid.
Yeah, and we're looking at probably another 6 to 9 months, you know, of continuing to operate with our expanded programs based on, you know, the data that we're seeing. So
yeah,
it's just really important. I've got grandkids that go to the Boys and Girls Club. My kids went to the club. And I can tell you that, you know, about $9 is the leverage on a donation for our club. So for every dollar that we take in, there's about a $9 impact to the community.
Okay.
So, you know, what you're referencing, Jeff, is it's not only giving the kids, you know, a more normal lifestyle that they were more used to when they come to the club, but we have the majority of our kids have one or two working parents.
Yeah.
And when the school's closed, it's like, okay, I can't stay home. And so we provide, you know, not only a safe, positive place for the kids to come, but it's a godsend to the parents, because now they have a place that they know their kids getting, like Mark said, tutored to the virtual school, mm-hmm. and they're getting a good lunch. And it doesn't really cost the parents hardly anything at all. And so, you know, that's one of the biggest economic impacts, I think, that we're providing right now.
Yeah. And Mark, and Mark Cox is the executive director. Mark, are you seeing kids actually, or are you having kids actually come in who are maybe doing their virtual education at, you know, in a facility of yours, but then also doing the physical and, like you said, food type things with you guys? Have you seen an uptick of kids coming in to sit on the screen at your facilities? Is that happening?
Yeah. So from 7:30 in the morning to about 3 o'clock every day, kids are logged into the school.
Okay.
And so whenever they have like the 5 minute breaks, 10 minute breaks in between,
you're making them do jumping jacks.
No, yeah, more so. But we're having them have fun, socialize. Okay. Of course, they get a free breakfast, lunch, and a free snack. You know, the other day I had a parent call us saying, "Hey, thank you. You saved my life." And I think that type of impact that we have on a single parent, she was a single mom. She's got three kids. And she's like, "I couldn't have done this without you guys." Obviously, she had to pay the bill. She had to go to work. We see that a lot with our single parent households.
Yeah.
90% of our kids are on scholarship and tuition. No kid is turned away because of financial restrictions and constraint. And that's why we have our community supporting us. It's like, we need these kids in a safe place. Obviously, if payment is tough on a lot of folks, we're there to support them. And we're smacked up in the middle of Brennan Homes. Mm-hmm. We had a deal with the city that no kid in this neighborhood would have to pay to attend the club.
Okay.
And, yeah, you know, financially, we want to support all those families that are, you know, we're all going through this crazy storm together. So we're here to support our community.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to steal that crazy storm. I will use that one in the future, Mark. Let me ask you this, Mark, because I think that, I mean, in my world, there's – look, there's a lot of folks that this, I mean, we're all impacted, I think, somehow during this whole COVID thing, because it's there every day for all of us. But we're definitely, I've said this a lot, we're not all in, we're all in this together, but maybe not at the same degree. And hear me out here for a second. I mean, my life, I'm fortunate to where we're able to do things virtually. My life in that sense wasn't altered a lot when this hit. It was somewhat of an adjustment when you go out and you can tell the world is different, et cetera, et cetera. I guess what I'm trying to get to, guys, is there are a lot of people who, they, you know, they weren't impacted as much with this, and many people have actually prospered. But what we forget is if you've got – there's a ton of people that have had to, from day one – I mean, we're almost a year into this thing – continue to go to work. The trash needs to be picked up. The sewer lines need to be cleared. There's people working at grocery stores. There's our medical folks, the nurses. I mean, they've been going and going and going. They can't work in the virtual world. So then you guys are backfilling this thing because – kids can't go to school in certain places, but they still got to go somewhere. I can't sit the 8-year-old in front of the computer and say, hey, mom's going to work, or dad's going to work, or both are going to work, or whatever the situation is. See you in 8 hours. I mean, that's, I think there is a disconnect there. And there's the whole world that's continuing to go on while some people don't realize it because their virtual world, they didn't have a hitch, I guess. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, to that, this has not been without a lot of challenges, Jeff.
Sure.
At a board level, we've increased our monthly budget. It's doubled. And we made a decision to do that because of the extended hours and the increase in number of kids that we serve. But Mark, you might talk a little bit about, you know, our, you know, cleaning and your staff, the impact on your staff and even yourself.
Yeah, Mark, yeah. What have you dealt with since COVID? I mean, you've obviously seen a spike in numbers of people that have to, you're helping. What are you dealing with?
Yeah, so, you know, when COVID hit, we obviously decided to open. So we've actually doubled and tripled like our monthly expenses on sanitation and cleaning. We're used to being an after-school program, and now we're open full days from 7:30 to 5:30, and we've been doing this for almost 11 months. And you know, it does take a toll on the staff, but they come here with a purpose, you know, to impact the community and serve those kids, help those families. And since that time, we've actually been able to serve over 20,000 meals. We've been open an additional, you know, close to 1,700 additional hours since the start of the pandemic. We've been able to serve 300 plus youth, either through virtual programming or in-person programming. And then we've given out like emergency food boxes and Club on the Go bags, which were like weeks of supplies of fun educational activities that kids in the community can stay engaged, but also have fun doing while they're at home.
Okay, good, so, good. And it takes a lot of money. Let's do this. I mean, I'm looking at your website right now. Why don't I do this? Folks, I just put a link up at talkwithjeff.com. It is the top post. It's the very top. You can't miss it. If you're in a position, there's a couple ways you can donate here, right? You got the tax credits and then just general donations. Talk about that real quick.
Yeah, so the tax credits, that's a no-brainer. You know, you'll receive, you know, 100% of that back from the state of Arizona if you do pay taxes. So it is a tax credit, not a tax deduction.
See your tax advisor.
See your tax advisor says that right on the side.
When it comes when it comes to taxes and economic picks, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, right. So that's an easy way. I will tell you, even in the midst of all of the challenges we've had, we are in an expansion. We are we're going to expand our existing teen center, and we're going to build a state-of-the-art STEAM lab, makerspace lab for the kids. It'll have about 20 workstations, include everything from robotics to coding.
No.
You know, anything that hits the sciences, math, arts.
Yeah.
And technology side. So we have $175,000 capital campaign, not a real large drive. We're about 50% of the way there. And so if any of your listeners would like to support us in expanding our Cogdale location, they can contact Mark. through the website. And we would, you know, like I said, we were about 50% of the way there. And I think by the end of this month or 1st of March, we're hopeful we can start construction on that.
Yeah, good. Okay, folks, let's see if we can help out here. And like I said, the link right to their site is up at talkwithjeff.com. right now. So if you can go there, follow that, talkwithjeff.com, click on the Boys and Girls Club link, and hopefully we can help you get, you know, a little bit further towards that goal. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys taking some time. I appreciate all you're doing, and I appreciate you guys working hard to have a place that kids can go, because they need that place right now more than ever. So keep up the good work and keep us updated how your funding goes here for your expansion coming up, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. And yeah, the kids are going, I mean, you know, if you're used to being active and in school and on the playground, and then all of a sudden you were out of school, and it's like, man, you need that place to go. And yeah, the screen time is a huge problem. But anyway, if you can go to the website, if you can help, if you think it's a, you know, I think it's a worthy cause, and you got the tax credits there, and then you've also got just, you know, regular donations, the links there, talkwithjeff.com. Check it out. And folks, we are out of time for today, and tomorrow's my big weekly roundup. Got a bunch of ground to cover on the show on Friday, starting right at 4:06. So I hope you'll join me. And hey, if you want to send me a message, go to talkwithjeff.com. You might want to click on this donate button with Boys and Girls Club of Flagstaff. But also you might want to send me an email. Love to hear from you. Plus past interviews, podcasts, so much more. The Show Be podcast here just in a little bit. So hope you'll share that as well. And I hope you all have a great, safe night, folks. And be back here tomorrow at 4:06. And we'll see you soon. All right, this hour, let's talk Boys and Girls Club. Let's talk about the rent moratorium as well, plus the superintendent of public instruction wants more dollars. Big surprise. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back, folks, and welcome to another hour of the show. Appreciate you listening. Love to hear from you. If you got a comment, go ahead and chime in, 877-971-3971. Coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to talk with some folks from the Boys and Girls Club and the impacts they've seen for nearly a year now because of COVID and the pressure it's kind of put on their organization to be able to have a place for kids to go, because if they can't go to school and their parents got to go to work and the parents maybe can't afford to put them in anywhere, they've got an option for a lot of kids right now, and they've really been filling that community need. So stick around for that. I'm really looking forward to finding out about that information. Plus, I got some info if you want to go check it out right now about how you can help with them at talkwithjeff.com. You know, I was looking at a couple things here. I got to talk about sometime. I don't know if I'll get to it this week. Maybe I'll stew on it over the weekend. But I got a letter from my kids' charter school about how they're going to be focusing on, you know, racism. And I don't want racism, believe me. But they made it like their primary focus and mission in life, it seems, beyond education, is racism and what's the other word? Equity. You know, and I believe we should all be equal under the law. But the whole equity issue gets into a lot of social ramifications, financial ramifications. I mean, you talk about equity and socialism, we can go on and on. So that's like their primary focus. And I'm just like stewing over this. I'm not sure what to do. I've got one. My eldest daughter obviously is a senior. She's going to finish up at this charter school. My youngest daughter, Olivia, just entered the charter school this year and hasn't walked into the classroom one bit. And I've been told that the school got a big PPP loan, and I've been told overall, it was Representative Walt Blackman, wasn't it him, that said earlier in the week that some schools are actually doing better because they haven't had to have kids in the school, plus they got PPP loans and state backstops, so they're actually coming. I'm not saying this is absolute. There may be some in a different situation. I get it. But I'm hearing that a lot of schools are actually doing better because there's nobody there, you know, so it's a different environment. You don't got as much upkeep. Now, the superintendent of public instruction for Arizona, Kathy Hoffman, I'm not going to get deep into this article because, you know, they always want more money, but she's calling for more money for these schools that are supposedly struggling. And then I'm balancing this and looking at this letter from my school that's like a state of the school address, you know, that was given. And I'm like, but your focus is on, I mean, this thing gets deep into white supremacy, into white privilege, and all that. I'm reading this from my school. And I sent my kids to a charter school because I'm trying to get away from the public schools. And what I'm learning is that the charter schools, at least in my experience, it's just the same thing. They're just following what the public schools are doing. I guess they still are a public school. But I thought maybe, you know, they'd be different. They'd think different. They would, you know, tackle education a little differently. I'm not finding that. So I got some tough decisions to make, just like many parents. I believe that education should be 100% choice, freedom of choice when it comes to education. But not only that, because in Arizona, you do have freedom of choice when it comes to education. You can pull your kids out and you can homeschool them. You go file the letter with the county or whatever, saying, I'm homeschooling, thanks, bye. And by the way, like 30, 40,000 kids in the public schools, last I checked in Arizona, have quote-unquote disappeared from their system. They don't know if they moved. They don't know if they just never showed up to Zoom. They don't know what happened to them. So there's a lot of people who have left the school system. But the state continues to promise to backfill these, you know, the headcount that some of these schools are lacking. Because there's about, it's approximately $10,000 per kid that the schools get in money. It's what I call a backpack of money. Well, I believe that backpack of money should follow the kid in wherever they go. Public school, charter school, which is just public school. It's a fancy word for public school now. Or private school or homeschooling, because homeschoolers have all kinds of expense. And my son is homeschooling. And so if you want to do the extras, you want to do music, you want to do science experiments, you want to do this or that, you want to hire someone. There's plenty of people who could teach math. You know, if you want to hire someone, you should have that money. And I should be able to, like I was talking with Representative Walt Blackman earlier in the week, I should be able to pool my money together with someone like Walt, for example, and maybe a couple others. And we say, hey, let's come together and hire one math teacher to help our kids out. We need freedom of where to go and where our money goes for the kids. We need that. But Kathy Hoffman just says more money to the public schools, more money to the public schools. I don't know your thoughts, folks, especially if you've got kids or grandkids. Go ahead and email me your thoughts. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. This one is getting really frustrating. So Congress continues to debate the $1.9 trillion stimulus package. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats are arguing over, you know, $400 or whatever. The Republicans are going to lose this argument because, you know, if you're arguing that you should get $1,000 and they're arguing against $1,400, you don't have much of an argument there. I mean, I call it degrees of socialism. But part of what's in this package is the continuation of the rent moratorium. As you know, I'm in the rental business. And I've got a lot of friends, and I know a lot of people who are in this business. And most of the people who are in the rental business are not fueling up the jet, typically. And a lot of them are just, I have one rental. Maybe I have a duplex. Those people are in a bad position. And I'm starting to, I haven't found the numbers, but it must be in the billions in past due rent now. The rental moratorium was extended as per the last stimulus package. Remember the $600 you got? They extended the rent moratorium, the CDC rent moratorium, which expired the end of last year, to March 31st. And basically, you can sign a piece of paper attesting that you have COVID or had COVID or have been basically impacted by the economic impacts of COVID. But I just find this all interesting because now in the new stimulus package, well, let me step back. I find it interesting because those landlords that aren't fueling up the jet, and even if they are, how is this not a taking under the Constitution? Because the government is saying you have to allow those people to stay there, which most landlords will work out something with tenants if they communicate. Believe me, some won't. Most tenants, though, are good paying. They want to pay their bills just like most people. But in the business of rentals, you always, in any business, you always have good actors and bad actors. You always have, you know, whether it be on the landlord side or the tenant side, you always have situations where people take advantage of the situation. And if there's a system that's put in place where you can sign a piece of paper and say that I'm not going to get evicted. Yeah, but I'm going to owe that. This is always the argument they make. Yeah, but you're still going to owe that money. You know, they're still going to, okay, I'll sell you the book of uncollectible, you know, past due accounts. So they don't get it. So there's this moratorium in place, and the impact it is having on small landlords is tremendous. And people say, oh, go get the PPP loan. Well, that's really hard to get sometimes because that's geared towards people with employees, It's complicated. You got to go through a process. Does the money run out? So meanwhile, some people are like, they haven't received rent in 9-10 months, and they're paying the mortgage, the property taxes, the insurance, the upkeep, everything. And there's no plan here to how to help that out. And instead, they just keep continuing the eviction moratorium. Now, if this next stimulus package passes, which it will, the amount is under question. I imagine it'll be at least $1.9 trillion. They're going to extend this eviction moratorium till September 30th. September 30th. That you can't get someone out for non-payment of rent in many cases if they follow all the rules from the CDC. Again, how is this constitutional? And if you're doing a stimulus package and you're sending out checks for, you know, $1,400 a person, how is this not all tied together with the people? Here's my point. How do you have a moratorium and you're sending people money? I don't get it. And how do these people in D.C. and the CDC and anyone who signs on to this, how do they think the landlords, especially the small ones who maybe own one unit or two units, how are they going to continue to pay these bills? Have they thought this through? I don't think so. It's unbelievable. How long will this go on? And one more thing on this. What is the impact, the psychological impact as far as investors? And this goes along with what I was talking about last hour with hashtag everything is rigged. The psychological impact on investors and how long will it last that people are going to be like, stay away from residential rentals as an investment property. I've been in this market a long time. Like, I never thought that the government could come in and say, by the way, people don't got to pay their rent. It's inconceivable. I mean, what's the next step? If I start a little grocery store, does it come to a point where you can't charge for that bread? I mean, it's the same thing. You're saying people, and they say, oh, no, we're not saying you don't have to pay rent. You're going to owe it later. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. But my point is what's the impact on the investment, you know, people getting into this market? Who's going to pick up that slack? 2 points here. I got two. Just keep popping in my head. Who's going to pick up the slack on the, you know, investing in rental properties if people decide this is not a safe investment anymore because you can't get paid? That's one point. So all of a sudden there's you think there's a housing shortage now. Who's the government's going to step in and make housing? Maybe Biden can do an executive order on that and create virtual housing. SimCity. Number two, how many units are vacant in the country right now? Because maybe the landlords that can't afford it are like, I'm not going to rent these units. I'm just going to keep them off the market until I see how this all shakes out. And what's that doing to pricing, to rental pricing? How is that helping anyone? I'd love your thoughts, folks. Go ahead and chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Love to hear from you. And let's switch gears and get into what the kids are doing when we come back as far as, hey, if they're not able to stay at home because mom and dad or mom or dad or whoever's at home has to go to work, you know, they can't work virtually. What are the kids doing in these cases? Where are they going? Well, Boys and Girls Club is one of those places. So let's talk with them about that. Folks, hang tight. Back in a minute.